You're listening to the Veteran Etc. podcast, as there's always more to be said about a veteran. Join your host, Mike Kim, a veteran, ex-monk, seasoned war trauma therapist, and writer, as he shares his years of research in veteran readjustment culture and the meaning of warrior life. Now, here's your host, Mike Kim.
This is Veteran Etc. If you're a veteran, and if you're a father, and if you are a mother, I don't want to bring a lot of political correctness here, but I will, in the sense that, because I know with my mother at times, she had to take on the role of father when my father was working out of state. But still, she acknowledged my father. And this was before I was abandoned by my parents. And you guys know a little bit about that type of history with my mom's illness and the economic conditions of my family. But the bottom line is this. Today is Father's Day, and we honor fathers and veteran fathers. And in that, we can see that veterans, in that fatherly role towards their children, can face many challenges. There's a lot of news, a lot of media, and me, I focus the show a lot on veteran, et cetera, on veteran culture, in particular, veteran readjustment culture. And in veteran readjustment culture, looking at the daily lives of veterans is important. Now, one thing that I notice, and I think it's been done at times in regards to minimizing the role of veteran mothers, but still, in the larger culture, Mother's Day, I believe, takes a lot of room on that particular day, Mother's Day. And Father's Day, like I believe, especially when it comes to veteran, might have a smaller kind of space for the average American. Now, I'm not starting any type of controversy here. What I'm saying is that I'm trying to pull out certain veteran issues that might involve vet dads, right? Because I feel as though the VA hospital system, I feel as though a lot of veteran organizations, they won't take the time to look at a lot of like the veteran issues tied to vet dads. And I'm a vet dad, and I will say that while my sister, and she's a veteran, a female veteran, and Mother's Day for her is like special, but she's not considered as a vet mom, right? She's more considered as a civilian mom, right? That's like the signifier and all the signification tied to it. That's a challenge. It is even more of a challenge to look at the vet dad, right? Especially on Father's Day. And vet dads have particular issues that a lot of folks in larger society, they don't acknowledge. And even, I bet there are these tough guy, tier one vets that are just like, oh, suck it up, drive on. So what if she left you? So what if he left you? If you're in a alternative relationships involving children, which is okay in my book, you went through the divorce. You've got to pay alimony, suck it up. If, you know, your base commander's like, if he took a favorite side on the issue and favored ex-wife, ex-spouse, suck it up if you're a vet dad. Well, after a while, you can only suck it up so much, right? And certain people, they process things differently. For me, I spent many years just dissociating, disconnecting myself as far as being a father. I was there in my role in many ways. I was there, but psychologically, how could I say it? All I could say to my son is I wasn't even there for myself. I wasn't even there for myself. So as a vet dad, how could I really be the dad, the ideal dad? And I've had to deal with that with my father, hardened by combat. My mother also experienced combat, and my stepmother. But my father experienced a lot of direct combat. And I wonder his deficiencies as a father. It's much more, how could I say it, nuanced than, let's say, with Tobias Wolff, who was a veteran. I don't know if he's a father, but he's a veteran. He was a Green Beret in the Vietnam War. He became a very, gosh, prolific American writer. He wrote the book This Boy's Life. It deals with men and boys. It engages the issues of his father and his stepfather. And I think in the book, both men, the two fathers, treat Tobias Wolff in a way that seems incorrigible. But when I look at maybe my father's limitations throughout the years, I've been able to kind of sense his veteran journey and say that I give him a pass. I give him, though, in our broken ways, I feel that he gets room, he gets space, he has a domain to be as one who struggled to be a father and probably didn't even know it, didn't realize it. And the effects of the Korean War truly, truly impacted him. Again, as I said before, it's a 3-year war that 5 million people died in. People don't realize this. They want to talk about these modern wars and everything, but they miss the Korean War. 3 years, 5 million people. And that type of combat, that's not just a regular type of storybook, redeployments, book of the year type of combat. That's something visceral. That's not something on one of these podcasts that's like glorifying, and for good reasons. Badasses are badasses, and you want to glorify that. But there's a certain darkness when you're dealing with war like the Korean War that is almost unspeakable. When you carry that, and that's why I mention it, when you carry that into fatherhood, it's a very challenging thing. I would just like to say that when reading the book, This Boy's Life by Tobias Wolff, he describes his father's, the stepfather and his biological father, and in ways that are very selfish, that are very mean. And yet I'm trying to think, but what kind of caused that? I mean, could it have been maybe the depression? I don't think that the father served in World War II. I can only assume possibly experiencing the dreary depression of the 1930s. That's what I can assume. But imagine something like what my father experienced, the war as a civilian and also as a soldier. And also just before that, the Japanese occupation, which is a huge terror for many years. My father pretty much experienced just before the Korean War. These are very dark parts of the human soul. And so can I expect my father to be the father that I want him to be just because I grew up watching Leave It to Beaver? Can my son expect the father that he sees at lacrosse games that show up, whatever, in the convertible and with the Wink Martindale smile? I don't know. But I do know this, that I have all the integrity to say that I own my life as it is, and I own my veteran identity as it is enmeshed in my identity as a father, as a dad. And I can only say to all of you fathers and dads, vet fathers and dads, that you're taking this in your lives all the way in to our cemetery, to that wonderful veteran nursing home that we're headed to. And that's just the reality. And know that there were other forces involved in what you did as a vet father while you were in the military, after you were in the military. This is primarily for the vet dads tied to the experiences while they were in the military as being father. And while they were veterans and readjusting and being fathers. Those are distinct experiences. I'm challenging vet fathers to be in touch with those experiences, much like one needs to be in touch with their war or regular military experiences. Be in touch with those experiences, those nuances. Recognize what's behind some of the actions. People think that I might feel a sense of self-blame. I have the man Gandhi He was guilty of many flaws as a father of modern India, but there's no doubt that he contributed so much towards the Indian population. If you remember, a country that was traumatized and left with nothing right after British colonialism. And it was Gandhi's, how could I say it, reconciliation with others to create something big. Well, you may not, and he never saw the greatness of India as it is now. I may not ever see anything that my son does in the future. You may never see what your children do. Maybe you have. Maybe you're not pleased. Maybe you're pleased. Those are things that are important to investigate within yourself and to work out within yourself and to recognize, as I said earlier, those are other forces involved that I'm not saying should excuse you of anything, just like I don't feel my life needs to be excused. But if we understand more, we understand the bigger picture, and we don't stay within the smaller picture. I'd rather have this life as a vet dad than the vet dad who is like the regular dad who might not have these different things that we carry, and it's just love bombing their kid and just worshiping their kid, or just not challenging their kid to be better, not using, kind of like how vet dads might, and I'm not saying all vet dads do, but I know I did, push their kids in the playground to run faster, to tackle harder, to do things better, because maybe our vet dads did that to us, or we still take on what we learn from drill instructors, drill sergeants, etc., certain NCOs, certain superior officers in our previous lives. And we, in our lives of readjustment or while on active duty, we try to push our families. We try to lead just like we led while we were serving, or we try to lead our families while we are actually leading in the service. And it gets complicated. But all I can say is I'd rather have that, taking on that leadership in whatever brokenness it carries. I'd rather have that than have this glossy life of a father that knows best. Ironically enough, Leave It to Beaver's father was a veteran. If you remember, he was a CB in World War II. I don't know if the actual actor who played Ward Cleaver was a real veteran, but according to the narrative, he was. And there is something in regards to Ward Cleaver, in regards to his integrity and to his goodwill, and to all the characteristics of being a veteran, of being a warrior. Ward did exhibit that on the show. Whether that was accurate or not, we don't know. But at least within the narrative, we have that. Maybe we can't rewrite our script as far as being the great vet dad. Maybe like you, you failed, like I have. But we can maybe in spirit be like a Ward Cleaver to others. Maybe we can, even if our kids might be jealous of it, we can offer ourselves to others in a way Ward Cleaver was towards his sons. And maybe we can take that on in mentorship roles in our community. Maybe we can be vet dads to kids who don't have dads. And they don't have to be kids. They can be younger veterans. They can be younger civilians. But I guess what I'm trying to say is the spirit of the vet dad is present. We find it in Marcus Aurelius, going back to history, who is the vet father of probably all fathers and was ideal. And yet he, in all his wisdom, he wrote the Meditations to inspire. People don't know that the Meditations isn't a book that's for hedge fund managers, for billionaires to deconstruct. It's a book that was written for soldiers, Roman soldiers, and then the general populace. But Marcus Aurelius wrote this for his men, for his troops, because as I was told by one great Dominican friar regarding the meditations, Marcus Aurelius wanted to write something in a fatherly way to explain, what if your horse dies on you? Believe it or not, the intimacy between a horse and a warrior back then was close, or the death of a battle buddy back in those days with the Roman army. How do you deal with these type of troubles, or the loss of a battle, the loss of leadership? These are things that I think Marcus Aurelius gives to his troops, to Roman society, but not just that. The Roman Catholic Church actually looks at Marcus Aurelius as a pagan saint. So there's something about Marcus Aurelius, who was known also for being a devoted husband and being a humble emperor, but he was also a father. He was a vet dad. And sadly, he had a son, I believe Emperor Commodius, who was not as great as Marcus Aurelius, was far from all the glory of Marcus Aurelius, and betrayed the teachings of the humility that Marcus Aurelius passed on to others. And it's important for us to recognize, much like the Somerset Maugham book, The Razor's Edge, again, another veteran, Larry, in The Razor's Edge, in the book. And then if you see one of Bill Murray's great movies from the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, The Razor's Edge, you see at the ending, in the book it's phrased differently, but in the movie, the ending is Bill Murray says, you're not owed anything. This is after experiencing World War I, climbing the Himalayas as I did, searching and going through the bohemian life as I did. He did it in Paris. I did it in the Lower East Side of New York for a number of years after the military. Nobody owes you anything. And when I look at the role of the vet father, and when a lot of times Hollywood will depict the vet father as the evil one, as the broken one, as the one who is lacking, I would like to share that ending. Nobody owes you anything. And that's for the vet father, as well as the vet child, the vet mother, the vet wife. We're not entitled to anything. All we can do is maybe take on the spirit of a Ward Cleaver, a fictional figure like him, the virtues that he embodied, or the real life virtues that Marcus Aurelius, a vet father, tried to pass on to his troops, his son, and the larger society. This is Veteran Etc. signing off.
Veteran Etc. invites you to join us again with your host, Mike Kim, every Sunday. If the content from this podcast is informative to you, please share the podcast with others, give a like, and or post something you learned from the episode on social media. If interested in other truly informative podcasts like Veteran Etc., check out cominghomewell.com for a listing of other veteran-based podcasts. Thank you for tuning in.